This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Boulder, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55 that could be used to buy your dream home. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSweepstakes.com. Welcome inside a Wednesday edition aboard the mothership, everybody. We're happy to be here. Thanks so much for dropping on by. And coming up this morning on the show, he was a 10-year starting center for the Kansas City Chiefs under Marty Schottenheimer in the 90s. He was part of the Chiefs renaissance back after a decade that was lost in the 70s and then a lot of pain in the 80s. But by the 90s, the Chiefs had turned things around and become an annual contender. But every single season, a great Chiefs team would end up in the playoffs, but couldn't get farther than that. No Super Bowl appearances for the Chiefs. In fact, before this great era of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, those Chiefs teams of the 90s defined the pain of the playoffs. And Chiefs and Bills coming up this year on Sunday for the AFC Championship game was once upon a time the AFC title game in 1993 when Joe Montana was under center for this Kansas City Chiefs team against a Bills squad en route to 4 consecutive Super Bowls. Tim Grunhard was the starting center that day in Buffalo for Joe Montana. Grunny's been a friend of mine for a long time. We worked together in Kansas City way back when, and he'll join us coming up here on the show to talk about this year's Chiefs team, Patrick Mahomes' injury, and this AFC title game. So Grunny's going to join us coming up at the top of hour number 4. Also this morning, we have Super Dave join us. Super Dave. He, of course, is the voice of the Winthrop Eagles. He lost the bet this year against Mraz, college picks versus NFL picks, meaning that he is forced to use our drops from the show, like Little Wet, Little Drippy, or Good Burgers, in the middle of his Winthrop basketball play-by-play. And for the record, Winthrop is an undefeated team these days, searching for an NCAA tournament bid. So this should be fun. He will be forced to do this on his airwaves. Then we will play it for us on our airwaves, and we will have a delightful, jolly old time. He will be embarrassed. And so we'll talk to him coming up this morning on the show in hour number 3 about what drops we want him to use in his broadcasts. Also this hour on the show, your sound check, best audio of the day in 20 minutes, and your champ and chump for a Wednesday in 40 minutes. We'll talk about Mahomes' injury and the latest on that. coming up next hour. Also, Kyrie Irving is back with the Brooklyn Nets after his hiatus that nobody knew why. Do we have any more answers now? Deshaun Watson and the bizarre roundabout way Patriots way could be screwing him. The Blue Jays end up with one of the biggest signings of the offseason in Major League Baseball, which is a huge coup for Toronto. And Tom Brady and his revenge this weekend. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Hey, you want to jump in? Let's do it at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, easy way to go get a hold of me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. We have our forecasts ready for Sunday's championship games in Kansas City. Temperatures will be in the 40s. It's the late game, so it'll start in the 40s and drop into the 30s. The day is going to be cloudy, perhaps with some showers. So perhaps a sloppy turf at Arrowhead Stadium for Chiefs and Bills. In Green Bay, and I just love two outdoor games on grass. It always bums me out when we have domed games in the championship weekends. It's our last chance for bad weather situations. We got two classic NFL stadiums, outdoors on grass. I love it. Packers and Buccaneers, the early game at Lambeau. Also cloudy, but temperatures in the 20s. A high of 29, a low of 22. And precipitation, about 50%. Chance of snow is in the forecast. Snow showers. It will not be a snowstorm, but we could have snow showers throughout the day, throughout the afternoon, with an accumulation of maybe up to an inch. And so bad weather at Lambeau, temperatures in the 20s and some precipitation, even if it's only an inch. Who does that favor? Bucks? Packers? Tom Brady's played in many, many cold weather championship games before in Foxborough. One of the great cold weather quarterbacks ever. Aaron Rodgers, home field advantage. It is where we begin. You're cold open.
I think the week six game matters just about as much as when the Saints went to Tampa and beat them 38-3. Things change. People, teams change and evolve and either get better or get worse. Or there's not much staying the same. But there's an evolution throughout the season of plays, play calling, adjustments, guys playing good, guys maybe falling off, young guys stepping in. There's a lot of things that happen between then and now.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Aaron Rodgers on SiriusXM. I think advantage of the NFC Championship game goes to Green Bay. Now, again, Brady has played very well in cold weather games throughout his career, and so it's not as though somehow this is just a young quarterback that doesn't have experience or Drew Brees that's played so well in a dome for his entire career. But I do think that Tom Brady at this point in his career, at 43 years old, is a little less impervious to cold weather situations. I think as you get older, it's pretty obvious for you to succeed, everything needs to pretty much be comfortable and at times perfect to really hone in and do it. And it's just harder to get over some of those things. And for Brady, you know, the arm strength is maybe a little bit less. The accuracy might be a little bit less. But also, Tom Brady last week against the Saints didn't have a great day. He didn't have an amazing day against the Saints. And to out-duel Taylor Heinicke in the wild card round isn't necessarily some great shakes either. And he wasn't an all-world player against Washington anyway for much of that game. I think what we see with Brady is his moxie, his guile, his experience is leading him to make some big throws, but they're not looking to rely on him for 300-yard efforts. They want to run the football with Jones and Fournette as they did last week, and they want to complete drives in the red zone. I think what's interesting about how the Buccaneers won last week is so much of the Bucs' offensive success happened on short field because of those four turnovers. So if the Green Bay Packers avoid that and they're forcing the Bucs to go down the field, lengthy fields, on the road, in the grass, and with some weather conditions at play, I think it's going to make the Bucs' jobs really hard. I'm going to say advantage Green Bay Packers here because while nobody, no quarterback, including Aaron Rodgers, wants to throw into wind, loves to throw in 20-degree weather, loves to throw when there's snow showers, Rodgers is still in his prime and has dealt with Green Bay conditions for his entire career. And let's face it, Packer conditions can be a little bit different than many other places as well. I think for the Packers, their offense is more explosive than the Buccaneers. And I know that Bruce Arians has tried to design an attack that has big play capability, and certainly sometimes they do. But I just think that the Packers, with Davante Adams and the ground game and the number of weapons he has at his disposal in the pass game and being 6 years younger than Tom Brady and having the home field advantage and having played remarkably well in some really bad Lambeau conditions before, I would say this is advantage if there is snow and muck, if there is tough conditions. I would say advantage Packers. Now, I don't think it's great for the Packers. I think if you just line these two teams up on a dry field, neutral field, sun is shining, nothing, no problem, I think it's advantage Packers as well. Because I think Green Bay is just a better football team. I think Green Bay has a better quarterback. Green Bay has just a better attack this year and are all around a deeper, better team. So you sometimes want neutral fields. And in this case, if it is sloppy, if it is wind, if it is snow, that can help even out the playing field. So it's not great for the Packers, okay? But if you're asking me if it ends up being a dark, windy, snowy, sloppy day, yeah, I'm going to say I trust Aaron Rodgers to navigate that a little bit more than I trust Tom Brady at 43 years old in this Bucs offense, which has been a little feast or famine, including in the playoffs as well. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, what do you think? Advantage Bucs or Packers if there's snow on Sunday?
I think it's still advantage Packers, though it's hard not to think that it gets neutralized a little bit if the forecast continues to get worse than what they're saying. Look, half an inch of snow, I think that's one thing. Heavy winds and getting that up to 3, 4, 5 inches of snow, which doesn't look like it's going to be the case, I do think would neutralize things. Because, look, as I brought up last week and up the gut, there were 2 weeks this year where at Lambeau the winds were howling and very heavy, and the Packers were absolutely gashed on the ground and had no answer to stop the run game for both Dalvin Cook and John Robinson. And what you see in bad weather on top of maybe having trouble stopping the run is a little bit of slippage from D-backs and big playability, and Tom Brady doesn't have the arm strength to get it down for big playability, but when you have Chris Godwin, you have Antonio Brown, you have Mike Evans, those are the kind of players that can make D-backs slip, take a 10-yard slant, and take it to the house, where in this kind of game, one big play could change everything. So I still think as it stands now, that little bit of snow I think is perfect for a setting, and I still think the Packers should be heavily favored in this game, but if it gets worse and takes a tick worse, I do think that brings it back to the Pack and actually helps out the Bucs a bit.
You say they should be big favorites. They're like a 3-point favorite. I don't think they should be big favorites.
I think they're going to win this game by a touchdown to 10 points. I really do. I really, the way they're cooking right now, I just cannot see the Bucs being able to do enough to slow them down, unless, of course, the weather works in Tampa's favor.
I can't see the Packers winning by 10 points. That's a blowout.
Well, is Aaron Rodgers going to turn the ball over? Because unless the Bucs are getting turnovers like they did last week or in this first game versus the Packers, they're not exactly pushing everybody around. I mean, heck, they're in a spot where it's a one-possession game with Washington in the wild card round. Tom Brady threw for less than 200 yards a week ago. A lot of those passes were fluttering ducks. I think the Packers are head and shoulders a better team, and if all things are even on that playing field and we're not talking about heavy weather, I really think that Tampa's going to have a difficult time trying to slow down Aaron Rodgers.
They certainly are a better team, I agree. When was the last time, though, that Tom Brady was ever blown out in a playoff game? I'm trying to think. I mean, even last year, would we consider that against the Titans in the wild card round a blowout?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a one-possession game, wasn't it, until he threw the pick six?
Yeah, but okay, but that matters, him turning the ball over because he's had enough at the end, yeah.
Yeah, but that was the final play of the game. That was the final play of the game.
Okay, but the Titans also are a sloppier team than Green Bay as far as the style they want to play offensively.
Well, wait a second. You can't say they blew them out and then say because it's style. Well, it's either a blowout or it's not a blowout. When was the last time that Tom Brady got blown out in a playoff game?
Okay, I'd have to look at that. When was the last time Tom Brady was 43 playing in a playoff game?
Okay, but you can't say he's definitely going to get blown out because of his age if he's never been blown out before.
Okay, but winning a game by 10 points, in my mind, is a blowout. I consider the Titan game a blowout, but it's not going to look the same as this would because the Titans play a more tighter, run-first style of play. I just, again, and it's not about Tom Brady, I think their defense is going to have fits trying to slow down Aaron Rodgers. It looks like he could just flick a wrist right now and do this, and I just don't think Tom Brady, the way he's built, we saw the way he was throwing last week, can come from behind if there's a bit of a lead. The only reason they did that last week is because Drew Brees was turning the ball over left and right, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to do that.
Well, we always have, always, one really close game in the championship round. Uh-huh. It's rare that we have two blowouts. So you believe it's the AFC game that's going to be close?
I do. I think the AFC game is going to be wild.
Wild.
I do. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that we're going to leave that game win or lose thinking, oh my goodness, Josh Allen and the Bills are serious contenders entering next year, more so than we even think right now.
Is it
now,
true
take this,
that...
Okay, take go ahead. This from somebody who was 0-3 last week and up the gut. I will acknowledge that.
The Titans beat the Patriots last year 20-13 in the playoffs. That's not a blowout.
That's all the score was? I should have looked at the score before that. It felt a lot worse, though. Didn't it feel like a real swan song? Where, and again, 13 points, DA? 13 points from Tom Brady last year? Come on.
Yeah, it was rough, definitely, but it wasn't a blowout. It
but was what
14
was he doing?
To 13. The Titans led until that pick six in the final play of the game. So it was 20 to 13. And then before that, the last loss of the playoffs was to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That obviously is a super close game. Before that, they lost in Denver 20-18 to the AFC Championship game.
All right.
Before that, they lost to the Broncos 26-16 in the 2013 season. That's a 10-point loss. And before that, they lost to Flacco and the Ravens in the AFC Championship game 28-13. So those were the last two possession losses by Tom Brady in the playoffs was 2012 and 2013. So you got to go back a ways.
Yeah, so why couldn't we expect something similar where I think the opponent might be better in a matchup-wise compared to what Tom Brady has around him in the Bucs right now? I really do believe that.
No, that's fair. I'm just wondering, I mean, most people's definition of a blowout isn't an 8-point loss or something like that. Even a 10-point loss isn't necessarily a blowout.
So I'll pull back the word usage of blowout. I don't think the game will be 41-0, but I do think that this is a
comfortable win.
Comfortable win for the Green Bay Packers as it stands. If we go with comfortable over blowout, we could have a nice next 4 hours, Damon.
Yes. So comfortable when I can sit with. There's a part of me that just doesn't believe that this Tom Brady story ends in blowout fashion on Sunday. There's just a part of me that goes, there's too much Grim Reaper in there. There's too much Freddy Krueger in him that there's just no way I'm going to be watching Tom Brady fourth quarter, head in his helmet, down 21 points in this game.
Well, why not? We saw Aaron Rodgers last year, the NFC Championship, lose like that. We saw Drew Brees last week lose like that. Tom Brady's can't lose like that because he's Tom Brady. He's not Superman.
Well, he's because he's never lost like that, because we've all seen right. those other guys lose like that, and Tom Brady's never lost like that. That's why.
Well, again,
I mean, I can't envision it because it's never happened.
Oh, well, start visioning it, baby. We need to will this thing to happen because we can't sit through another Brady Super Bowl yet.
I think really the only time that Brady has been really thoroughly humiliated in the playoffs is that Ray Rice game. That was wild card weekend 2009. And the Ravens jumped out 14-0 and then Cruz. I mean, it was probably 38-10 or something like right. that. That was in Foxborough. That was I think that's the only time that the Patriots were really humiliated in the playoffs.
And that also has to do with the fact that Bill Belichick is still a better coach than Bruce Arians and probably wouldn't let the team be humiliated in big playoff games either.
Well, yeah, Bruce Arians doesn't have a great track record here. So you could definitely look at the coaching. And I would say advantage Matt LaFleur, even though LaFleur is young. I would say in this coaching matchup, and Bruce Arians has some pelts on the wall, I would say advantage Matt LaFleur, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Absolutely, the way he's cruised along here, and also Matt LaFleur just being in this NFC title game a year ago and getting embarrassed, if you will, through a comfortable win by the 49ers, has to lean on that a little bit and understand where things went wrong that week of preparation.
Yeah, I would say out of the coaches, advantage LaFleur, and then out of the coaches, advantage Andy Reid over Sean McDermott. McDermott's been great, but Andy Reid's been doing this for 20 years, so yeah. I'm going to go advantage the Walrus here.
I need to change your mindset the next couple days. We had a Patriot funeral last week. You're too lovey with Brady and the Bucks. I need you back on the we can't stand them bandwagon.
Well, I just don't want to go into Sunday and wish for some type of demoralizing destruction and then have it thrown back into my face, and that makes me demoralized. Like, believe me, I don't want to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, okay? I just don't want to have to talk about him for another 2 weeks after this. I don't want to have him going for a seventh championship. I'd much rather see Aaron Rodgers. I'd much rather see any of these three teams win than Tom Brady win. Now, this is nothing against Bucks fans. Bucks fans have never done anything wrong to me. I mean, they haven't won a championship since 2002. I'm just, the Brady thing is exhausting. So I'm with you there, but I'm just not ready to be like, oh yeah, don't worry, Brady loses by 2 touchdowns on Sunday, and then have Brady go down the field and exact some type of surgical revenge on Aaron Rodgers. And then I'm the one sitting there going, oh my God, now I feel awful about this.
Tom Brady's got 6 rings. He's got a supermodel wife. He's got everything handed to him. The last thing he needs is also being the only quarterback to lead his team to a home Super Bowl in Tampa. We can't have that either.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's add that to the list of accomplishments. Brady would go to 10 Super Bowls, be trying to go for 7 championships, 2 different teams over 21 years or 20 years, and be the first quarterback ever to lead his team to a home game in the Super Bowl.
No, thank you. Not for me.
When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. The Falcons have their new head coach, Arthur Smith. He weighs in on the futures of 2 of his perennial Pro Bowl players. And how about Caris LeVert changing zip codes? And maybe he found a place that he could really thrive. We'll do this coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Reminder that you can listen to the show in podcast form every single day, whenever you want, on demand. Full episodes are available. Full hours are available. Plus, the best of is available as well for you. 1 hour plus bite-sized chunks of the DA show. And the PGP, the permission granted podcast, all available if you simply search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. We begin with former Brooklyn Net Caris LeVert, who was involved in the James Harden trade, ultimately swapped to Indiana to play for the Pacers. The Pacers had a physical after acquiring LeVert, and they found a mass on his kidney. And so Caris LeVert considers this trade perhaps something that saved his life. Here's LeVert.
In a way, this trade definitely, you know, showed and revealed, you know, what was going on in my body. So I'm definitely looking at it, you know, from that side, and definitely humbled to know that, you know, this trade could have possibly you know, save me in the long run.
I really like Caris LeVert. I like him as a player, and I think that the Pacers added a really good piece of the puzzle. Indiana suddenly becomes pretty interesting with their roster, especially adding LeVert. I love his age. I like his bounce. I like his game. I like his work ethic. I think that he's a really good player. And considering that Victor Oladipo had been limited because of the injury, swapping in LeVert for Oladipo and a guy that is only, I think, going to ascend in terms of talent is a really good move. So a savvy move for the Pacers. And for LeVert, what an amazing story that by being traded, it may have saved his life or some serious health repercussions, because he had no idea, nobody did, that he had a mass in his kidney that only showed up because the Pacers did a physical on him upon the trade. Crazy story. Here is former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who takes over in Atlanta, the new head coach of the Falcons, and looks at the futures of his quarterback and wide receiver.
It's more than that, Julio. I mean, you there's a lot of talented players on this roster. And, you know, whether you're talking about Chris Lindstrom, Grady Jarrett, I mean, there's so many players that we're just still early in this process if we fill it out. I mean, the roster today is going to look different from to September. And then as you get to week 17, it's a constant evolution. There's a lot of talent here that we want to build off of. But I can't give you any snap judgment today because we're still early in this process.
So Arthur Smith had been with the Titans organization since 2012. He had coached us about every position: offensive quality control, offensive line, tight ends coach, offensive coordinator the last 2 years. In the last 2 years, Tennessee had an offense that could really be very nimble. You know, last year was primarily running the football, really pounding it, and then using the play action pass upon the acquisition of Ryan Tannehill to get to the AFC Championship game. This year, they won the division because Tennessee was also able to sledgehammer it with Derrick Henry, but also they did have a good passing game. They did have a deep passing game that kind of grew over the last year as Tannehill signed the extension, etc. So Smith has had some bona fides. I think that out of all of the coaches this offseason, Arthur Smith might be one of the most anonymous. So it's not like Falcons fans can get all that fired up unless they talk themselves into it. But when you're talking about what has worked recently, 30-somethings with offensive backgrounds stepping in and making a difference, that's been a pretty good recipe. Now, I'm always worried about owners just trying to do the who's the next fill in the blank. And it feels like owners have been doing who's the next Sean McVay. Okay, I want a guy with very little experience, offensive background, in his 30s, we want the young whiz-bang kid. And, you know, this is how Cliff Kingsbury got a job. This is how Zach Taylor got a job. This is how Matt LaFleur got a job. This is how Arthur Smith is getting a job, because they all kind of fit this kind of thumbprint. Now, some of it has worked. McVay and LaFleur are obviously very successful, very savvy, very good upgrades. And Kevin Stefanski, the same thing. He's an offensive-minded guy. He's a young guy, bright guy, and that's been working. The only thing is you can't just paint by number on this, because a Zach Taylor has proven no evidence that he's a great hire, and Cliff Kingsbury certainly has his fair share of flaws. And let's see about Arthur Smith. The one thing about Arthur Blank in Atlanta is that he has proven to be very patient with his coaches and likes to hire assistant coaches. He likes guys with their first head coaching gig to take over. And we'll see if that works. It may work, it may not. I mean, Arthur Blank has had some success with that. Dan Quinn goes to a Super Bowl, but also there's a risk there as well. But very obviously, Arthur Blank wants somebody that's going to be there for the long term, because he has not hired older veteran coaches with big names or reputations. He has kind of consistently gone with who's the next guy, and Arthur Smith is going to try to be that guy in Atlanta. And finally, Kyrie Irving finally returned to the Brooklyn Nets. Here is Kyrie on his absence.
There's a lot of family and personal stuff going on, so just want to leave it at that. I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces, and we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself, like I planned on doing. You know, just needed a pause.
Says he just needed a pause. I am not going to sit here and judge Kyrie Irving, because I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And if he had something really dire with his family, or really pressure-packed or anxiety-ridden about his family or himself, I mean, we could all understand stepping away from your job for that. I think the problem is that Kyrie makes it very flippant. Like, oh, yeah, I just needed a pause. Yeah, you know, I'll just leave it at that. And it makes it sound like there wasn't something really significant behind it. And that's where it just gives you reason to wonder the severity of this. And that's just what Kyrie Irving does. He speaks, and he has this great weight behind much of his words, and yet his behavior feels very flippant and very kind of like off the cuff and not very considered. Although he's done some very thoughtful things as well in his career in terms of societal things and community things. So who knows where he comes from? It's just, it's so unpredictable with Kyrie. We'll do more on Kyrie Irving's return coming up here later on in the show, but that is your sound check. Standing by with your headline this morning is a kind sir, our resident kind sir, Mr. Andrew Bogish, with our headlines. Mr. Bogues, good morning. How we doing?
DA, good morning. We're doing well. It is the Toronto Blue Jays that win the George Springer sweepstakes, yeah, pending a physical. The former Astro signing a six-year deal worth $150 million. The Mets were apparently offering about $25 million less than that. The 21-year-old Springer joined an outfield that hit 40 homers last season, the second most in baseball.
So the Mets got outbid. Steve Cohen gets outbid by $25 million, did you say, or $40 million?
About 20 to 25, I think. They were doing 120, 125 over six, and the Jays apparently went to 150.
Boy, is that the last time that Steve Cohen ever gets outbid for the guy that he wants? He can't, losing due to money. He's only worth $17 billion, literally.
Toronto also chasing other former Astro Michael Brantley, and they've reportedly signed reliever Kirby Yates. Patrick Mahomes reportedly made progress yesterday, but remains in the NFL's concussion protocol. You are allowed to practice while in those protocols, so the Chiefs are hoping Mahomes can get on the field later today.
And isn't this interesting that we had that report yesterday that it's not a concussion, that it's a nerve pinched in his neck, but he's still in concussion protocol? We'll talk about this also more at length, but boy, is this about as confusing as it gets about Mahomes' status?
Yeah, and just the idea that you're able to practice while in protocol throws me off too. Wouldn't that mean you shut everything down until you're okay?
No, that's part of the thing, which I think has created the confusion here, is that it's not simple as, okay, now you're out. Like, once you're in, you have to graduate out of it. So, part of the steps is doing things and raising your activity, raising your heartbeat to see how you respond to that, which is why you're allowed to do some things. He can't go out there and do a full practice, but he can do the things that would deem you a limited participant. That's allowed to see how he responds to the increased activity.
Yep. Gotcha. And we'll go into the details of this because there's a bunch of steps to it, but it is leading to, as Bogues just mentioned, a lot of confusion about what exactly is going on with Mahomes. It's Wednesday now, and I think the Chiefs are optimistic. I think they think he'll play, but it's still very murky in terms of reporting on it.
An MRI showed no structural damage in the knee Antonio Brown hurt in New Orleans, so the Bucs are calling him day-to-day. Brown only played 10 snaps in the second half Sunday. The Jaguars are promoting Trent Baalke to GM to work alongside Urban Meyer. The Rams could hire Raheem Morris as defensive coordinator, and the Saints are adding assistant head coach to the title of D-line coach Ryan Nielsen. He also gets a new three-year contract. Nielsen was trying to leave to become LSU's defensive coordinator. Only two games in the NBA last night. The Nuggets took care of the Thunder, 119-101. Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 12 boards, 6 assists in just 3 quarters. And the Jazz ran their win streak to 6, 118-102 over the Pelicans. There was plenty of college poops and plenty of threes, not twos, from Alabama.
Here's Herb with a steal. Driving, dishing, Petty, corner, 3. Unstinking.
Chris Stewart from Learfield IMG College. John Petty Jr. hit 8 of the Tide's SEC record 23 threes in a 105-75 rout of LSU. Third-ranked Villanova held off Seton Hall 76-64 in its first game in 27 days. Florida hammered number 6 Tennessee 75-49 and Purdue a 67-65 win at number 15 Ohio State. Over South Carolina QB Ryan Helinski is transferring to Northwestern. Tiger Woods recently had another back procedure to alleviate some nerve pain. That takes his next two events off his schedule, next week at Torrey Pines and next month at Riviera. And on ice last night, Colorado won in LA 3-2, Philly blanked Buffalo 3-0, and the Penguins rallied past the Caps for a 5-4 OT win. Sidney Crosby scored that game winner. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, we've got a champ and a chump. The champ is actually champs, and the chump, I'm loving it. We'll explain coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's Champ or Chump.
And remember that the DA Show is available to watch every single day. Go to watchda.com. That's available on any device. That includes your laptop, your tablet, your home PC. Or you can watch us as well by simply going on Twitch. If you use Twitch, to the CBS Sports Radio channel. WatchDA.com is also available on your phone for free. No sign up. WatchDA.com for the simulcast. I did this story the other day, but I feel like it needs some repeating. They were my momentous Monday subjects. And your champs this morning, Bills fans, for what they've done for Lamar Jackson. Since beating Lamar Jackson over the weekend and Lamar Jackson leaving that game due to a concussion, Bills fans felt, you know what? Let's wish Lamar well. We're moving on. He's not. He's a great quarterback and a great competitor. What can we do? And it was a Bills fan on Reddit, one of the message board threads, who found that the charity most closely associated with Lamar Jackson is one that helps out kids in the Louisville area where Lamar Jackson played his college ball get fed. It's called Blessings in a Backpack, a nonprofit that provides food on weekends for elementary school children who might go hungry. And so it began with Bills Mafia just spreading the word. And they said, let's start with just $8 in honor of Lamar Jackson's jersey number. And then some of them said, you know what? Why don't we add Josh Allen's jersey number of 17 and make it $25? And so some gave $8, some gave $25. But since the Bills beat the Ravens, the majority of donations that have come into Blessings in a Backpack have come in from Bills Mafia. And they've raised nearly $500,000 for these kids in Louisville. And it's so cool why this is happening. Remember a couple of years ago, Bills fans reached out to Andy Dalton's charity to thank him because he threw the touchdown pass in Week 17 to allow the Bills to back their way into the playoffs. Well, they're doing this because they said one of the members of Bills Mafia who has tweeted a picture of an email that he got, who has donated, told CBS News yesterday, years of suffering, I think, has bred this kind of appreciation for us and generosity within the fan base. He's now also a reporter for a local newspaper. He said, because we really know what it's like to be on the other end of this. So it's just like not wanting to take anything for granted. We just wanted to show our appreciation and show people of Western New York what we're all about. Which to me is just, this is what it's supposed to be right here. This is what it's supposed to be about. And I oftentimes talk about, who do I root for? There's not specific teams I root for out of fandom. There's teams I root for because of the fan bases and because of the people involved finally feeling satisfaction over years of investment in your team. You know, it's why I am rooting for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, is because Brady has tasted this for so long, but Rodgers, it's been 10 years. Or a fan base like the Bills, which is just amazingly passionate, that has not tasted that success in so long. And the longer you go, the more appreciative you become. And so a Browns fan base, a Bills fan base, it's awesome to watch them finally get to feel these things. Quarterbacks that have never been there before. I rooted for Dan Marino for so many years just because I felt like, boy, this guy deserves to just feel that one time, that celebration, that victorious celebration, instead of, you know, the monopolization of a team like the Patriots and a fan base like Patriots fans. That, let's face it, when you win that much, you become desensitized to it. It's just the next duck boat parade. It's just the next championship. And that to me sucks, because then you stop understanding how special it is. And Pats fans, I think, really did. I mean, you know, they just didn't know what it was like to be on the other side of life, like all of us. That, you know what, nothing's guaranteed in your team. And there's no success that you automatically get grandfathered into. And now they realize that again. Oh, it's going to be like this for a while, Pats fans. And so Bills fans are the exact opposite. So much so that they're so gracious in winning that they're like, let's help out the guy that we just beat. Let's just show our appreciation for even being good. And that, to me, boy, that is the essence of why sports matters, because it changes you internally. If you finally do have that success, it changes you because you just feel this unbelievable gratitude and joy and happiness. You hug strangers and you cry as an adult and you want to help other people out. And what could be better than that? And so Bills fans teach us all a lesson that in victory, you can be a good winner. It doesn't have to be you hate us because you ain't us. You know, Bills fans aren't like Patriots fans right now, shoving it in people's faces. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we're winners. Screw you. If you don't like us, it's because you hate us. No, it's not that. It's we're so happy we're winning, we want to help. That's special right there. So Bills fans are the champs this week.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is the Tennessee Volunteers coaching staff, and specifically Jeremy Pruitt. Dan Patrick had a report yesterday, and this is quite interesting. He said, I was told by a source there were a few things that went on in Knoxville. How did these assistant coaches get nailed on recruiting violations? He said, well, they put money into McDonald's bags and gave them to recruits when they came on campus. Some of the campus visits were not organized or were not above board, but they were handing out cash. You literally had bag men put cash in McDonald's bags and hand them to recruits. My source said they were so in your face about it, they weren't even trying to hide it. Tennessee got sloppy. I just can't believe in 2021 that you could be this sloppy from a head coaching standpoint. I just can't believe you have assistant coaches running around and on campus visits they're handing a Happy Meal to these guys with $10,000 in cash in the bag. I just can't believe you've got wads of cash next to sweet and sour sauce and McNuggets, and that's what's going on. Look, if that's what's happening at SMU in the 80s, okay. In 2021, how can you be that sloppy? How can you be that in your face? Of course, you've got to be more sophisticated about it. Now, do I think that there are more teams than Tennessee that are paying recruits? Of course, in the SEC. Of course, of course. I don't think that they're rare for this, but that's really bad. If you are that brazen, if you are that sloppy, if you are that in your face, you deserve to get caught. And Jeremy Pruitt, man, you've been an assistant coach of the SEC under Nick Saban. I'm sure Alabama and Nick Saban don't hand wads of cash in Happy Meals. I'm positive. When they're cheating, they're doing it on a much more sophisticated level. Nick Saban would never allow his coaches. Nick Saban probably spends months at a time diagramming exactly how they're going to cheat, who they're going to pay, how they're going to pay, what the bank transfer number is going to have to be. There's no way Alabama's that sloppy. Pruitt, get your house in order. You deserve to go down if your coaches are doing it like that. They are the chumps.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Mraz, your heart was in your throat because when I teased this story, you thought I was going to have some awful story about McDonald's.
Yeah, I didn't know where we were going, DA, if they were taking away McFlurries, if something bad had happened with a McRib. I really thought we were going down into Chipotle territory on the show where something's going to be shut down. Tennessee acting like idiots, putting cash in McDonald's bags, I think is a big win. I think we wake up tomorrow and understand that the barbecue sauce and 10-piece nugget will stay on the menu, and we will survive. So I am totally very happy with that show.
But there's going to be some earth-shattering news about McDonald's, then you were not going to get
much anxiety the last break, DA. I'm so relieved that just Pruitt being an idiot.
Let's get to your latest on Patrick Mahomes. And is it a concussion? Is it not a concussion? What's his status for Sunday? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.